Back in the beginning of 2005, I went to a presentation by the chief economist of the International Monetary Fund, and she, at the time, pointed out that very few people, there's only about 14 outfits in the world that participated in the survey for Chinese GDP because it was very difficult to do. So just out of sheer rashness, I decided to participate in the Bloomberg survey. Not so much that I thought I could add enormous information, but it kept me on the data. That means I had to look for the data every month. And that's pretty useful. It's been pretty useful for me this month because what's happened is the dramatic divergence between what has been the consensus view of the Chinese economy up until now and what the data is actually showing. 3 weeks ago, the International Monetary Fund released its estimate for full-year growth in China and estimated that full-year growth through the year growth would be 8.015% after 2.3% last year. In the Bloomberg survey, I put in a number on Monday, which was fully 2% below that, growth of 6.2%. For this year. It's only Wednesday, and now I'm thinking that number was too high. I'll talk about what are the components of China's GDP for the September quarter, where they were particularly weak, where they were particularly strong. Now, we know that the real estate sector in China has problems. We've talked about Evergrande and the possibility of an Evergrande failure before, but it's really startling to see what that does, that what the softness in the property sector does to China's quarterly GDP. China's quarterly GDP increased by only 0.2% for the quarter. In the last 24 quarters, there are only two which are equal or worse than that. So it's absolutely the bottom draw of Chinese output. It's a bad number as far as the Chinese economy is concerned. What happened in the quarter was that construction output, if we look at it in comparison to the same quarter last year, was down by 1.8%. And real estate sales, the whole level of real estate activity in the services sector, providing loans, selling, the value that was added by real estate activity fell by 1.6%. What was good in the services sector was information transmission software, information and technology services. That went up by 17.1%. Reopening the economy, accommodation and restaurants was up by 5.7% over the same quarter a year before, and transport and storage, which basically means online retailing, was up by 5.7%. All those are pretty weak numbers, though, in comparison to what China used to be able to achieve. Interestingly, if we look at the sectors of industries, there's primary industry, secondary industry, and tertiary industry. Primary industry is farming. Secondary industry is manufacturing. Tertiary industry is, of course, services. Overwhelmingly, the best thing to be in China for the last year was a farmer, where output went up by 7.1%, and that was much better than in services, where output went up by only 5.4%. And secondary industry manufacturing, where output was up by 3.6%. Why, you ask, was it such a good thing to be a Chinese farmer? Well, the really reason for that is that 2 years ago they had this appalling swine flu. They have the biggest hog numbers in the world, biggest number of pigs. They had to kill half of them, and they've had to replace those and grow them and fatten them, and that's what's added value in the primary sector. But really, it's a very bad It's a very bad quarter. Now, if I looked at that, what's that going to look like for the full year? If you look at the previous quarters for the last 5 years, there's four out of five chances that it'll come in at a number about 1.6% growth. That's eight times as good as what the rotten third quarter was. And there's about one in five chance it'll come in better than that. Four out of five chances is that the Chinese economy year on year for the final quarter will grow by only 3.2%, which means it's actually falling back to the kind of growth rates that you'd see in a fully developed economy. And maybe that's reflecting an underlying problem in China that I've talked about over the last couple of years, and that is that their workforce is the growth of their workforce is slowing down because of the eventual effect of the one-child policy. This is the decade in which Indian growth is India is beginning to grow much more rapidly than China. That's definitely the case this year. India grows significantly more rapidly than China does. And that's because the rate of growth of the workforce in India is growing more rapidly than the rate of the growth of the workforce in China. So I think maybe this is actually biting structurally, the growth is slowing down. We're seeing it knock around the demand in construction this year. We'll probably see wages continue to grow in China because of fewer people coming forward, coming forward into the workforce, but the rate of growth of the total economy continue to slow in China over the balance of this decade to the end of this year. And that's why it's a really good thing that China was so nice to beat us around the head yesterday and last year in terms of our exports and make us send our exports to other countries like India, like Japan, like Vietnam, because the Chinese economy is structurally slowing down. Therefore, we need to find other faster-growing markets.